Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Liquid Dota Podcast 2.0 Episode 1. We're just going to start over. We apologize for the delay in all things Liquid Dota Podcast. A lot of stuff came up in everybody's personal lives. Quick admin note, if you did follow the podcast closely last time, Gaijin Dash is no longer a co-host on the show due to nothing he did. He just lives in a completely opposite time zone from everyone else. He lives in Japan. So he was waking up at 6 a.m. to do podcasts that the rest of us were doing at 4 p.m. And yeah, it was bad. So we decided to reboot it. We have Jay Grand Pyromania joining us. Say hi, Jay.
Hello, everyone.
So he will be the new co-host on the show indefinitely until one of us messes up and gets axed.
Yeah, hopefully we won't get canceled.
Hopefully we won't get canceled. That is the plan. We're glad to have Grand Pyromania on the show. To bring us back with the reboot of it, of this podcast, we have something a little bit special. We didn't really do this last time, but I think that this is something that definitely will add an extra level of interesting, I'm doing great this morning. to the podcast and to the scene. We are going to do an interview with Liquid Jerax. The newly formed team just won D2CL. We're going to put their Liquipedia page on here if you want to go check them out. Just a lot of really good guys playing good Dota. And so we were going to talk with one of them today to kind of give you the inside scoop on the new Team Liquid. So, Jerax, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. I just woke up like 3 hours ago. It's like fucking 2 p.m. Terrible.
Nice. Living that Dota life.
The dream, man. God.
Yeah. So, just tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you born? Where'd you grow up? And when did you first play Dota?
I was born in Finland, the capital city, Helsinki. Happily living with my bigger brother and sister, my mom and dad, playing video games with my neighbors. We had this kind of community of ourselves. People went to each other's homes and just played video games together. And that's how everything got started, I would say.
Nice. Old school.
First Dota was elementary school, 8th class. It's a Finnish pro player called, ex-Finnish pro player called Nama, who is a StarCraft 2 player. He won DreamHack 2010, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
StarCraft 2.
Yeah.
And it was very fresh game, and he introduced me to Warcraft 3 back then.
Nice.
And also this map called Defense of the Ancients.
Yeah.
Which no one played. And I was the guy. I was like excited about it.
Nice.
But yeah.
So when you first played Dota, and you kind of got into it, was it something that you picked up instantly? Was it something you knew you were good at, or did it take a lot of passion and time to get good at the game?
Well, what happened is that Nama played Nux Assassin and I played Anti-Mage, and I was like, why is my hero only having a blink? And he had like a fucking stun and a mana burn, and I got fucking raped, and I was really mad. I was like, am I just that player in general, or what is this? And then I noticed that there's actually really broken things, and I was like, okay, well, maybe I need to get more information about this game. And I just got into it after that. I felt like I could just improve, and, you know, the knowledge was interesting, because the more you knew, like, the more you could outplay, and then it, like, related to skill later, which is really like big thing for me. Just the fact that you know more than somebody else and you can like outplay through that. That was really interesting back then.
So a lot of it was because like you were being constantly challenged and there was just so much more that you could master and so that you could learn, right?
Yeah, because Warcraft 3, there was a lot of players that were really talented already, and it's actually felt like a huge uphill to battle against. You had to learn from these guys who are like, who had insane micro and like the APM they did in the games, and watching them play spectacularly is like, it's something you would like to be.
Yeah.
Like you could relate to be playing this game, but then you're like, holy shit, this guy's like insanely good and smart as well at the same time. It's like, how can I ever be that good? And then I was like, well, Dota is a little bit, you know, relaxed, and you have this one hero, a little bit less challenging. And then I saw the better players, and I was like, well, this is the same thing, but I guess I'm better at this, you know? I was terrible at Warcraft 3.
So it was more accessible to you in Warcraft 3?
Yeah, I felt the gap is not that long, or wide, how do you say? So that's what got me into Dota, I think. It's just, okay. I don't know. In general, I'm not the type of guy that goes where the fence is the lowest, if you say. Like, there's challenges, and I like to challenge myself, and I'm not the lazy guy who just keeps going like the lazy roads and taking it very easy, but this case it was that, I think. I don't know.
Right, yeah. So you like to challenge yourself. You like to achieve something. And with Dota and Warcraft, you didn't necessarily want to go for the Warcraft thing, but you felt like you could do it with Dota. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, kind of moving on from that. How did you come to know Rat in the Dark, and how did that sort of begin?
Rat in the Dark. I think I got to know these players more in Hon than in Dota 1. Heroes of the New World.
Yeah.
There was some players that were part of the, like, there's a IRC channel called Dota.fi, which is the Dota Finland kind of channel. And all these players were there in the IRC just talking every day and stuff. And I was like the late generation of joining this channel.
Okay.
And through Hon, there was a few players who were like really big on this channel, and they played for really good teams. And I got to know these players more in Hon, and then we later started to play together and stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
And so what were your feelings when, I don't know how many people know this about Drax, but what were your feelings when Sing Sing approached you to try out for QPAD?
I mean, as like, we played in Hon, and I don't remember the times, because Sing Sing was very different, I think. He was like a shy person, rather than how he this time approached me, and, you know,
right.
It was completely different. And I was like, well, I mean, I had a military service for 9 months, like previously that year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, if somebody invites me to a team, I guess I just go for it, you know. I had played Dota for like 2 months, and I was like really out of shape, and I don't know. I just got invited to a really big team, and I was like, I don't know, like, I guess I take the challenge.
Yeah. Okay.
It was really confusing to me back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, I wanted back to the scene, but, you know,
I
didn't feel like I'm ready, you know?
Exactly.
Yes.
That ready.
But you decided to take the chance anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, why not? There's, like, other people. If they're better than me, well, they should be in the team, right?
Yeah. That's a good point.
That's how I took it. So it was, like, just, I don't know, rather practice in a team rather than pubs, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay. So kind of after that, when you came back from military service, obviously joining Four Anchors and then eventually Team Tinker, but I mean, how did you end up in Korea? That's something that's always fascinated me about your story, is you're one of the few Westerners to go to Korea and play. I mean, it happens in StarCraft, but not normally in Dota. How did that opportunity arise?
Well, things didn't really work out in Tinker. There was some team synergy things, and a lot of the times we just became upset to each other, and I feel like it wasn't probably the team for me, even though there was great people in it.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a guy called Heen that I met previously in DreamHack. He was part of the MVP team. And Black said to me that they might be looking for a player. And, you know, if you want to take your chance, well, maybe you should talk to him. And I mean, he talked a lot, like a few weeks before I was already leaving to Korea. And I don't know. It was like taking the chance of the moment, and it felt like promising towards the future, in a way, as an experience.
Yeah.
Not just Dota, but in general, like just meeting people from other countries. I mean, I learned a lot as a person as well.
Yeah, it was a lot about expanding your horizons. Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's really like interesting experience. Really something you can't just do every day, you know?
Yeah.
This is not gonna happen again in my lifetime, I'm pretty sure.
Right. So even though like Korean Dota isn't really known for being super top tier compared to like other European and, you know, the West necessarily, you felt that it was a chance that you kinda had to take, right? To see what would happen?
Yeah. I didn't really think how high-skilled or low-skilled they are. It really didn't matter. The people I talked to, like, they felt really, like, you know, good teammates, and I felt like teaming up with them. It's more than that. There was some tournaments brought by Nexon as well. There was a lot of talk that Korean scene is going to be promoted more rather than, like, focusing on League and stuff. So, I don't know. It was like a... Because I previously saw other people like Purge and Plitch doing the same.
Right.
I was like, maybe I could do the same as well. I don't see any reason why not.
Yeah. And did your time in Korea... well, before I go into that, how did it feel qualifying for TI5?
TI?
Yeah.
Like,
you finally got to the big stage.
Yeah, I mean, the C is obviously one of the worst scenes, if you can say, and people feel like, well, it's out of qualify if you go there.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't. We really worked hard, like, the past months, playing every day Dota together and coming up with something very, like, unique. And that later was played by other teams as well. Like, people actually learned from us a lot. And, yeah. I mean, people thought, like, back then, Rave was really highly, people thought they're the best to see. And why didn't they get a direct invite? And, you know.
Oh, right.
But
yeah.
We proved them wrong, like, in the qualifiers. Like, they haven't practiced that much. You could clearly see that they're out of shape. And like, that was the most relieving part. Like, you see how much you have improved rather than just getting raved by these teams, because we previously didn't match these teams at all. Like, we had to outplay them, and, you know, it didn't work out. It wasn't fun to play against. But now it was, like, really relaxing, because now you knew what you're doing, and you're, like...
Like, you're feeling that your hard work was paying off.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, kind of going back to that point, I think you sort of answered it already, but, I mean, did you know Raze's actual skill level? I remember, you know, when they weren't direct... Raze, the Malaysian team. Were they... I mean, did you... Going into the match against them, did you know you could beat them?
Play them in the qualifiers. That's the fun part.
Yeah, you didn't. What am I thinking? If I actually pulled up
The other MVP played them, but...
Yes,
yeah.
Phoenix played them.
But as much as we have played them, we are very similar skill-wise. I think as a team back then, we were... And I don't think we had any trouble beating Rave if they did beat them.
Right.
Of course. Because I felt like we were really confident against the other MVP. Because we were doing much better in general. Like, they had some issues back then.
Okay. Yeah. So what sort of, obviously then you left MVP Hot Six to join, oh, we had to get to this point, I got to pronounce it now, to join Finfjungs. Okay. Yes. What kind of led to that decision? Was it just I'm tired of Korea, or was it Kuroki being persuasive enough? What led to that decision?
Well, after TI, it was quite clear that the team won't have future together, all the players. And I figured out that maybe it's better to just give up. Maybe look to study more, or be a little bit not to think about Dota so much, and rather just because I've been in the team house for 3 months straight, and there was a lot of days I didn't enjoy my time. Mm-hmm. Because it's really frustrating to live with 12 other people, and you kind of need your own time.
Yeah.
I'm a person that is kind of a little introverted.
Yeah,
introverted. I rather spend time by myself.
I couldn't
really do that there, and so I really felt like going home for like a longer time. And as the TI wasn't very promising for us, because, for example, MVP did much better than us, the Phoenix team.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt like we are the better team. Like, we would never, if we played, like, they were actually afraid to challenge us. They had the choice of choosing us over, was it Newbie? Because they could choose between two teams. They chose Newbie over us. Mm-hmm. Because they actually felt afraid of playing against us.
Right.
And previously that tournament, we had a really bad record. Like, losing almost all our games. Almost all the games are really close, but we lost them all, which is really disappointing. And I think if we played MVP and won, I think it would have boosted our like morale. We were really down back then. So yeah, that never happened though. So it wasn't very promising. And it was really hard to see towards the future. So yeah, then I just decided to take a little relax. I talked to Kuro at TI, and they were planning on a new team with Fata, and that was about it.
Okay.
And we talked more.
Yeah.
Later.
All right.
I know at the time there were rumors around that there's the possibility of you going to Cloud9. I think it was. Were those rumors like true at all, or were you just
with who?
I think it was Cloud9.
But with who?
Like you going to Cloud9 as their.
Yeah, but who was in Cloud9? That's what I'm like.
Oh, which Cloud9?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I believe the Cloud9 before they disbanded.
The Envy Cloud9.
The Envy Cloud9, yeah.
I don't think we had any talk, no.
Hmm.
Well, I shared some words with E, but not much.
Yeah. So, other than the Kuroki and the Kuroki stack, were there any other teams you were looking at, or were you just kind of looking to relax for a little while, or?
I didn't look for other teams really, but there was other teams looking for me, so it was fairly surprising after TI.
Oh.
I didn't really expect it because I felt my TI performance wasn't very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't believe that teams actually would look for me. So I was already very happy with the team we were like going forward with. So
right.
No, there wasn't any other teams for me.
Okay. So obviously getting picked up by Finfjungs. Okay.
Finfjungs.
Yeah, Finfjungs. I'm gonna mess. I've told you I'm gonna mess that up so much. Obviously, that was a very exciting time for you, but sort of with the success of that team, obviously, you guys ended up getting signed by Liquid. I mean, was that an insta yes for you all, or was that something that took discussion as a team?
This this offer was a long time ago already, and we had to adjust the contract a lot because we were disagreeing with a lot of things, what was necessary to do for the team, and what we actually need from the team as well. So it took a long time, but eventually both of the sides kind of came into conclusion. And that was about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a long-term discussion about the contract.
Okay, so a lot of it was just a back and forth, but relatively early on in the team's lifespan, you guys were contacted by Liquid. Were there any other sponsors, or it was mainly when she started talks with Liquid?
There was possible sponsors back then, but this was definitely the best.
Okay. Like, you're getting the best deal out of it, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so kind of switch it into the Liquid dynamic of it. I mean, obviously you all are happy with your D2CL results, and, that's obviously a big thing for you. Everybody in the team relatively happy with how things are going, or... Is there more room for improvement, do you think?
Us not getting major is kind of disappointment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, one could say we're a very new team, but I don't think it's a reason enough for us to think about it like that way.
Right.
And I think 5 out of 5 from us would rather be in major and not qualify to any of these tournaments. So, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Assuming you did qualify for the major, how well do you think you guys would have done? Even though the major isn't over yet, but.
Looking at Narnia, if you never qualified to Narnia, it would be really hard for us to say how strong we are. But as strong we were in Narnia, we just. I think we screwed up our games a lot just by ourselves. I don't think the other teams are that strong compared to us. I think we can improve ourselves and get rid of these mistakes. I think we can be top 4 easily.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you guys certainly have been proving that you guys are among the best in Europe. So, who would you have been worried about? Who do you think,
in major? We haven't played Secret a lot, and the playstyle is very different from the other teams, so I would point out to them.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Thinking of some other teams that really match up well.
What would you think about some of the stronger Chinese teams, CDEC or eHome?
I think eHome, I don't think CDC, they don't match up very well against us. Okay. I think we know them very well. We kind of have this, because TI5, CDC was surprisingly strong for the other teams. And we started to think why they were so strong, you know?
Right.
Well,
so
it was mostly because they
attention.
Played as a team and doing decisions together. And, we wanted to form the same idea for our team, started with to build it through friendship and then build this team play around the whole game, so we are not so individualistic in the game rather than just play for the team.
Right.
And we know how to play, and I don't think they do so well against us in general.
So a lot of it's you've sort of absorbed some of the aspects of their gameplay, and
we know how to play, yeah. It's very predictable for us.
Yeah.
Okay. So you just kind of mentioned that you all are working on your teamwork and being a team instead of, 5 players playing together. What's the in-game communication like? Because this and kind of our next couple questions are something that's very fascinating to me, is how this in-game communication works. Is it a lot of just the necessary information, SF has Blink and we move on, or is there chatter, or what's that like?
is drafting for us, so it's very obvious that he makes the bigger calls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he has the better understanding how the heroes match up. And this is the information he wants to share for the team. Like, the just like giving us the information of how he wants to approach the game. And this is what we have been working on for like 2 months, just to get the idea how he wants to the game to be played. And it's not that very it's not like one day he says like, okay, let's do this and this, and it works out. It's not like that at all. So you have to take long hours playing together, watching replays. And then, like, right now I feel really confident because I know exactly what he wants with the drafts usually. And I think himself, he feels really confident drafting right now, because strategy-wise, we are one of the best teams right now.
Okay.
We believe. Yeah. And we barely ever get outdrafted. So, but the communication, yeah, he makes the bigger calls. He, about the other players, like, the guys who usually feel the strongest in the game do more calls, and we try to, like, encourage other people to like do this, so it would happen every game. Like, okay. When Fata has a really good game, he starts to make bigger calls, and he wants other people to do less calls because he knows what he's doing, and okay. Stuff like this. So for me, I rather let other people do this because I know what I'm doing, and I think I take really huge focus what I'm doing, and I like kind of push myself to just think the way I do. Mm-hmm. And I think I might be one of the more individual players in the team, because I have stuff in my mind that it's hard to share, it's complicated. And because if I'm let to play my own game, I think our games go really well. And that's why I want to push myself to be a little bit more individual rather than so team heavy, because that was previously a problem, that I focused too much on the team, and that's why I just, you know, screwed myself over.
Okay, so you kind of want to preserve yourself and preserve aspects of, like, I guess, the general
team
play.
Yeah, I just need to be more selfish in general. Like,
yeah.
I'm the type of guy that very easily don't think about himself that much, and it's like a personality thing.
Yeah, so you don't really want to be playing a position 6 anymore.
Yeah, I guess.
Like,
it's not about that.
No, absolutely. That makes...
If you screw yourself over, you're position 8 or something, I don't know. that's what happens some games. I just couldn't think myself anymore.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you think the next step is for Liquid? Like, without giving away, I don't know how much internal secrets this might be, but, you know, what are the next goals? What's on the to-do list for Liquid? Is it just qualifying for the next major, or what are y'all's plans for the future?
Well, for me, I want a phone, you know, from Liquid. So HTC, please send me a phone, because my phone broke in Singapore and I haven't had a phone for 3 weeks now, I think. I'm really sad. So please send me a phone soon. For team in general, there's defense and summit coming, so
right.
I mean, that's the next goal, is to win those tournaments and then look into the next major. I guess that's the big things coming up.
How confident do you feel going into the Summit 4? Because that's a land that's for a base prize pool of 100,000 coming up next month, and it doesn't seem like, other than eHome, you have a whole lot of competition that, that, based on what we've been talking about earlier, that you'd be necessarily worried about.
I mean, I think it comes down to how OG does in this major.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they dropped to the lower bracket, which was quite surprising to me. think they had the games against VP. Was it VP or Vega?
I think it was VP. I'm not 100%
VP, sure. Right? Yeah, that's what I thought. And I mean, I don't know. They're kind of shaky, but I think they should be doing better. I mean, of course, EG's there. Like, we have never played EG. It's really interesting for us to play them the first time. But I think the other teams, Mineski, DC, right?
Yep.
And then the Redemption World, right?
Yep.
I don't know who's there, which team is that, so.
Yeah, that could be any team.
But I think they're not that strong right now. Of course, Mineski might be doing better, maybe after Major. Because they were really disappointing in Narnia, actually. Surprisingly, like, underperforming. So, yeah. We will see.
Yeah.
But VG is, of course, strong. VG, Ehome, EG, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
And OG is kind of questionable. Under question.
Interesting. So, kind of switching over to the whole Dota thing. You know, just Dota in general. I mean, do you like the way the tournament's going with the major system and this kind of, you know, we're going to have a big tournament every 3 months or so? Or did you prefer the one a year of TI?
I mean, instead of majors, there would be these other tournaments then. So I think it's better to have these stable, really big tournaments and then the one much bigger than the others. I think this is the better way approaching in general, because now top teams are going to focus on these majors and the smaller tournaments, they're going to be a little bit less, you know, people don't think about them anymore. Like how EG approached like MLG or ESO, I don't know. Like I don't feel they were that confident and prepared. I mean, they were confident, but they weren't that prepared. But for this major, like, teams gonna start to prepare for these majors much more now. They feel more important than the other tournaments. So I think it's good, because if the games don't feel important, people will start to slack and be lazy, and it's bad. Like, nobody wants to watch lazy Dota.
Yeah.
Nah, not at all.
This is how.
Sorry to cut you off. So what you're saying is that basically you feel that this sort of goal is something to work towards and it helps prevent burnout with like too many small tournaments?
I mean, I think it's much easier to say after the major has been gone a few times, like a few majors gone, then you start to see what happened actually. Because now it's really hard. Like, how is this going to change? People talk about the rooster lock for 6 months and stuff. Like, people are go crazy about it before even not, like, seeing what's actually happening. Like, you can speculate, but I think in the end you only know after a few months it's been going on, you know.
Exactly.
We need another year to be more smart.
Right. Like, let it roll around, see the consequences and the results before you make a judgment call.
Yes.
Okay. We can't have that calm, level-headed, logical thinking around here. What will Reddit think?
I know, right? Got a pitchfork.
Yeah. So, going into kind of a couple general questions that I think we're going to ask a lot of people that we do this with. Let's go with this one. You're Ice Frog for a day. You get one change to Dota. One balance change, mechanic change, game style, whatever change you want to make. You get one change to Dota. What is it?
Right now, I think I would remove Naga Siren from the game.
Just straight up remove her?
Or actually, I would remove Radiance. I think that's the better. Just replace Radiance with some other item. I think that's a good change.
So what? Why is that? Is it a hard build up, or is it overpowered, or what are your thoughts on the Radiance item?
I think it changes the game. These illusion heroes are like, they become something that is not intended like at the start of like who came up with the item called Radiance, and then they later they're like, oh, I made this item, I'm very happy, I see this illusion hero is just farming my lanes.
Oh yeah.
And you know, it's just a disappointing experience to play against this. It's not Dota anymore. It breaks the game. It's,
okay.
I'd rather play Dota than, you know, tower defense.
Right. yeah, I remember it was a few patches ago. I was scratching my head when he added evasion chance to it, which like Radiance was an extremely strong item before that, and I don't know.
I mean, of course, it's one of the only ways to play some of these heroes, but I would rather see something else than people actually like taking this item into this next level.
Yeah.
And just kind of abusing it in a way.
Like in a more active, like a more active item, as opposed to something that just encourages
farming.
I
hate this. This is a slow item.
Yeah.
It changes the game a lot.
And slows the pace of it.
As a support's perspective, it's not fun to play against.
Yeah, I can't imagine it being too fun.
Yeah. All right. So, kind of moving on here. Is there a hero that you particularly like playing that you don't feel you get to play a lot? Is there a hero you wish you played more?
I mean, Earth Spirit, I guess.
Earth Spirit. So, okay, yeah. So there's a huge call on Reddit right now because we've had Earth Spirit for, what, a year and a half, 2 years now? And still not in Captain's Mode? What do you think it takes to get Earth Spirit to Captain's Mode ready without being broken?
It's a really hard question. Like, from my perspective, I really don't know how to nerf the hero. Even playing him for so many times, I've never really felt like there's a good chance. Even though it's been nerfed a couple of times, I still feel the hero is very strong. And But I also feel the same time that people are very lazy to actually learn this hero, how to play against it. So people have strong opinions before actually knowing that much. And I feel this is the problem of the hero. People just hate it. And it's, I don't know. It's weird. It's not like many other heroes. Like, let's say Oracle is very strong right now. But nobody's ever really saying that the hero is broken and, you know, or the concept is wrong, or you know, this stuff. But I'm not really like protecting Earth Spirit. I think it's very strong here, and they should maybe change something.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be something really smart, so the hero still is the same.
Exactly. Because
I like the concept. I like the concept. I just feel they need to do a slight nerf, and I think it's ready. Just that it's really hard to say with what part. I personally can't say any part particularly. I think the Aghanim, that's something to definitely nerf on the hero. I think Aghanim is
really strong.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just completely switched that. I think it's very strong.
Okay.
It's game changing. It's similar to the Radiance.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Like, it's not fun to play against, I know.
Yeah. So how do you feel about balance overall in Dota? Do you think it's done properly? Are there some things you wish would change? You know, what's your overall feelings on the balance of the game?
Oh, Iceberg has done, and Valve in general, like, they have done a really good job. I always like the changes that come every patch. Of course, there is something that I'm like, okay, why is this happening? But at the same time, like the Radiance evasion, for example, but at the same time, I mean the Mister, not evasion, but at the same time, still like this is always towards the better, and I think they have done a great job, and I can't whine at all. Like, I'm very happy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the best games that is being balanced right now. I really think so.
No,
like StarCraft 1, for example, they did really good job, but the game never really changed. So it's much easier. But this game, every patch that is huge, I don't know how they keep it balanced, but they do a really good job.
So what would ideal balance look like for you? What would be the point where we could say, all right, besides a couple super minor Doom plus one armor type tweaks, what would perfect
for
balance
right now?
Yeah. What would perfect balance look like for you in kind of this perfect world?
I mean, that's insanely hard question. I'm really happy not to be in this position, you know?
Well, I just meant like overall.
I just
would
wonder,
it be
like
equal hero win rates, equal hero pick rates, every hero is situational, you know, what would that look like?
I mean, I'm really happy not being Ice Frog in this position.
Yeah.
He's just being questioned this every fucking day.
Yeah, seriously.
So I really don't.
I guess to dial it back.
I would like to all the heroes being played. That's what I would like to concept. Like, I generally believe there's always like places for these heroes.
Mm-hmm.
All the heroes. That would be great. I mean, of course, now there is a few heroes that is not being played at all. And I feel really sad for them, like Pugna, for example. I liked these concepts of the hero, but they're just not good enough. They're just not doing their job better than the other heroes. It's like heroes that do just the same job, just better. So maybe changing some spells or something. Pugna is a really bad example for this, but there's just heroes that replace the other heroes, just being better at doing stuff. So,
like a general power creep.
Maybe this shouldn't happen. This is something I would never do. So if heroes look very similar, like Wraith King and Sven, they look very similar, but they like later tweak the Wraith King ultimate and stuff. So yeah.
Okay.
Rather like have big changes between the heroes. Like nothing is similar. I don't know.
So you'd like
this is really hard.
You'd like a diverse pool.
Yes. I like everything is different.
Right.
And everything works. But that's really hard to achieve. I don't know how to do that. Don't ask me.
No, not asking you to. So kind of wrapping it up a little bit here. I mean, are there any heroes that you play a lot that you consider boring or that you kind of wish weren't as strong right now?
Let me look at the hero pool.
Yeah.
Boring heroes that are not that strong or what? What did you say?
Yeah.
What heroes do you not have fun playing?
Not fun playing. Scylla
Bear?
Like
obviously you have a ton of fun when you play Earth Spirit because high skill cap and high win rates. But like, is
I
there
mean, the high win rates really doesn't matter to me, actually.
Yeah.
I'm actually the type of player that doesn't care that much about MMR.
Okay.
Which is, I don't know.
So, all right. So, follow up question of that: what does make a hero fun to play?
For you,
like, just you're sitting down for a pub. It's all pick. You know, MMR doesn't matter because you're already a pro. You know. I just want to have a fun game before bed. What's the hero you pick and why?
Pudge.
Oh, no.
Hook is nice. And you lose all your games, even though you do the most amazing hooks. It feels really good and bad at the same time.
But then you miss one hook. And your team won't stop blaming you.
And you always get stomped in the middle lane. It feels really nice. You always get stumped in the middle lane and you still do fine. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So is it...
I like these heroes that are like off-map presence heroes. So you just AFK in jungle and you see a hero and you kill him instantly. But I dislike these heroes that are heavy on farm.
Okay, so you're not... So you don't like basically playing PvE, you like getting
I like
involved.
Killing people, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah,
killing people.
I want to be, yeah, it's nice.
Says the position 4 support.
I like people to hate me, you know? That's true.
Exactly. You like making people's lives miserable.
They get annoyed. And I'm really happy with this. That's my job, pretty much, in my games. That's what I do in competitive as well. I just annoy people. I do really silly things, and people are like, well, why is he doing this? And they get pissed and tilt. It's fun.
Nice. So.
This is my game.
Yeah.
I guess the last question out of me, who do you think you're strongest with right now?
Strongest with?
Yeah. In the competitive. Hero? In Captain.
Yeah.
Hero?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know.
What do you feel like you provide the most results with? That, like, you can do what you want to do while still helping, you know, the team play for Liquid.
Probably Tusk. I mean, okay. Tusk is, like, right now, I feel Tusk is very, very, very strong, and I don't know how the hero is still in the, like, people still leave it in the pool. I think the hero should be out of ban, similar to Doom. Mm. The hero is strong in any phase of the game, and there is no real, like, why the hero should not be picked. I don't see any reason.
Right.
Like, there's nothing that is exactly a weakness for the hero. That's how I feel.
Okay, so you feel like...
And, it's very similar to Urdspurd, actually. Surprisingly similar.
Oh. In what ways?
It's very mobile, gank heavy, team fight, all these things.
Right. That makes sense. Oh. I never actually thought about it that way.
Yeah, that's... Wow. Yeah. He might be onto something there.
We should make him a pro player.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody pick this guy up. Pay him some money.
But yeah. I don't think it's me being strong in Dusk. I think it's the hero.
Okay. But, like, you enjoy playing him, and he helps.
Yeah.
He helps you
I
make
mean,
other people
I win
miserable.
Games. I win games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Absolutely.
I mean, winning is fine as well. Sometimes.
Yeah. Winning is always fun.
Who knew? So.
I just don't. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if you have anything else, please say it.
I don't know what to say.
Okay. All right. So that kind of wraps up our discussion here with Jerax. I think he has to go. Do you all have a game later today or?
No.
No.
Majors. Yeah.
There's majors to watch. There's
no other tournament stacking with Major, no way.
Oh yeah, that's true. Okay.
I mean, me.
Yeah. So, yeah, that kind of wraps it up for our interview here with Liquid Jerax. It's been a pleasure. And yeah,
thanks,
I mean,
Wayne.
Pardon?
I enjoyed my time.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
So, any final shout outs, call outs, give us your Twitter, where can we hear what you have to say, things like that. Come on. You know, typical end of interview stuff.
I mean, thanks for everybody being a fan out there. And I'm really happy for everybody supporting. And keep watching our team. Maybe we make it to next major, you know?
We're doing it.
Still a little sad when people come to me and they're like, oh, you're not playing at the major? Where's the team? You know, it's kind of sad, but
yeah,
I've accepted it already. But yeah, thanks for everybody out there helping us, and we keep going.
All right. So, Jay, what do you got? Grand Pyromania.
You can follow me at twitter.com/grandpyromania and. Yeah, that's about it. Thank you, Jerax, for joining us today.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, guys, for inviting. And I guess shout out to our sponsors, Alienware, HTC, G2A, Guest, and HyperX, especially, and Razer, for helping us out with the huge project we have doing TI 6, I guess.
TI 6.
And please, guys, send him a phone.
Yes, somebody send this man a phone.
HTC, please help.
Please.
All right. So that kind of wraps it all up. You could find me on Twitter at RobIsFunny. All spelled commonly. Yeah, that's the Liquid Dota podcast, episode one, number two. I don't know. We rebooted the series. We'll figure it out. In the comments, just give us any feedback you have for us. One of the big things we're trying to figure out right now is if we want to do one every 2 weeks or one a week. So please leave your comments about that question. And yeah, other than that, thank you to Jerax again.
Every week, please.
Every week, please. Jerax has spoken.
Jerax has spoken.
So with that, we're going to log out here. So thank you all for listening.